Our scripture this morning is from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 37 through 48. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Then he entered the temple area, and he began driving out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is Holy Week, as you know. This is the sacred week. All of history is moving to this moment of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Even the birth of Christ, as wonderful that was and is, that was just one step on the way to the whole reason for this sacred week. Now, the scripture lesson read for you this morning left off where Jesus was teaching in the temple. That's after cleansing the temple. One of the reasons we take time for receiving prayer requests here is that our Lord said himself that my house will be called a house of prayer, and don't make it anything else, because that essentially is where people connect with God. But in this teaching that he was doing in the courtyards of the temple, there was a large crowd there. Over 2 million pilgrims were in that city at this time. So in the outer court there, Jesus was teaching on Monday afternoon. And among the many things he dealt with that day was a question that a Pharisee asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And our Lord said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength." And ladies and gentlemen, if you want an index to the passion of Christ, that is what dominated his life, was his loving the Father with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul, with all of his strength. I know the passion of Christ, we generally think about the cross, and that is the climax of the passion. But the passion in the heart of Christ was always loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That explained everything that he did while he was on earth. And what did that look like on Palm Sunday then, this one who said and says to us to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What did it look like this day 2,000 years ago? Well, the first thing you need to know that it took a great deal of courage from the Lord to walk into this valley, because he knew without a shadow of a doubt that this was the last week of his life on earth. He knew there was a warrant out for his arrest. And he explained to the disciples as they made their way to Jerusalem that I'm going up to be crucified. And they were frightened and amazed at the same time. And he went out in front of them with his face like granite. The scripture said his face pointed towards Jerusalem, determined to go there. It took courage to do that. And Christianity without courage, or love without courage, is not love at all. I saw a book this past week that I'm not going to buy, but the title of the book intrigued me. If you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. And it takes courage to get out of the boat. We cowards like to stay in the boat. But Palm Sunday means to us, we're called to have courage. That's part of what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To live by faith and courage. Why, if I hadn't asked my wife to marry me, or if I hadn't have responded to her pursuit of me, and if I feared that she was going to reject me, it wouldn't have happened. It takes courage. That's the great virtue that Christ has, and He wants us to love God and let some of that courage rub into our lives. To get out of the boat, you can't walk on water. You can't claim the promise that God has for you. You can't get rid of those things that are nagging you and dragging you down in your spirit. You've got to step out on those waves and Christ will be with you. But it takes courage to do that. And the courage of Christ here is so outrageous and so defiant and so glorious. He refused to let the powers that be dominate this moment. They said, will you please rebuke your disciples and tell them to be quiet and this mob to hush down and to cool it, because there's going to be a massive insurrection in this city. And Jesus said, if, and notice this defiance to the authorities, if they don't yell out Hosanna and Hallelujah to the King, then I say to you, Jesus said to that mob and those authorities, then the mountains are going to cry out. And I really believe that that would have happened because our Lord wanted people to know who it was that was coming to Jerusalem this day. It took courage to do that. I read recently about the president of a college, a university over in St. Paul, Minnesota, Hamline University. Been the president there for 7 years, and suddenly he wanted to resign. And it's interesting and how he came about this. He said, I can't see where I've accomplished very much. And he said, I want you to reduce my salary to $4 a year, because that's all I'm worth. That's not going to happen in our world too many times. But he said, in these 7 years, when I should have stepped forward and give the leadership that I was capable of giving, I was too timid. I was too cautious. I spoke too little. I was too cowardly. Boy, this is a self-confessed coward. I loved comfort too much, and I practiced courage too little. And so he resigned. He quit. It became the turning point of his life, because from that day on, he was determined to exercise courage in his life. And he became a real person the moment he made that decision. There is no Christianity without courage. Don't tell anyone about your love of God if they can't see that manifested in courageous behavior and acts in your life. Faith without courage is dead. So that's something of what Palm Sunday says to us. And the second thing, Jesus was there because he loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He was obeying God. Obedience. We don't like that word, but it's all through the scriptures. Even the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not mine. You know, love without obedience doesn't mean anything. And that doesn't mean just obeying your wife. And I've done my share of that, by the way. But don't talk about loving the Lord without at the same time knowing that that requires some honest submission to this other human being in your life. And to God it means, Lord, what is your will for me now in my life? And help me by your grace to be courage and to live out your will in my life. And this is King of Kings who approached that day. He says to you and I, not only do I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but you ought to love him that way. In fact, Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is really simple, isn't it? That's rather basic theology. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't love me, forget it. And then this King of Kings approaches Jerusalem in peace. I love that scripture in the Revelation where it says, and the Lord speaking, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open that door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And we'll have fellowship. We'll have communion. We'll have bonding. But you notice it doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you don't open it, I am going to break that door down. The King of Kings comes to us. Not on a white stallion symbolizing dominance and military control. He comes to us in peace and knocks gently on our lives and seeks us to open our hearts in a deeper way to him. And then I believe that love found its expression that day when Jesus stopped and looked over Jerusalem. This man who said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he looked over that city of Jerusalem and he thought about their long history of 5,000 years. And at that moment, he stood there in the echo of all the adulation in the background. The scripture says he simply stopped and looked at that broken city, and he wept over that city. And I think sometimes God weeps over us, weeps over our brokenness, our failures, weeps over we prodigals sometimes are still in the far country. Love that doesn't weep is not love at all. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're going to be concerned about your young people and your kids. You're going to see that they get in the church. You're going to live a life that somehow points them to Jesus Christ so the day can come when they can stand here and do what these three did. But love means we're going to weep sometimes. We're going to weep for those who are hurting. Love knows how to weep. And finally, we see Jesus going into the temple. And here is a picture of Jesus that's hard for some of us to assimilate. He actually runs the money changers out of the temple that day. He looked around on Sunday evening after the Palm Sunday celebration. And he goes into this temple and he just looks around. He sees what's happening, all the haggling and the bidding and the reducing of money. And they were fleecing the people by hundreds of thousands of dollars and they were blocking their path to the presence of God. And the Savior was upset about this. So he comes back the next morning, he goes to the temple and he takes a whip. Imagine this. Who points to God as love, taking a whip and running out those people who were corrupting that temple. He who loves the Lord God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. This day, that love took the shape of the wrath of pure love and running those people out of the temple. And my friends, think about us. Do you ever hear the Lord in your life, this God of love, taking out that whip and say, wait a minute, you know, you need to shape up a little bit. Those things that are blocking you from God, and like block those people from the presence of God 2,000 years ago, what is blocking you in your life of having this communion and this bondage and this deepening walk with God? It's almost like the Lord says to us in his concern about those kind of things, not so much the gentle voice, but a very stern voice that says, you know, you got to clean that stuff out. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, that's what a person does that loves God like that. Amen? Amen. And amen. Heavenly Father, we cannot do justice to this day. We know that the climax of this loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in Jesus' life found its fullest expression on that cross when he suffered so deeply and profoundly for all of us. And this day, Heavenly Father, help us to begin this journey of deepening our love of heart, soul, mind, and strength to you. Amen and amen. And now, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you until we return to this sacred place or we meet in the world to come. Amen and amen.